Good evening, folks. Can you hear me all right? Okay. I've done this a few times, and each time the feedback was speak up, so I'm going to try and do that. If you'd turn in your Bibles with me to Psalm 113, that's where we're going to speak from tonight. I think something that maybe the reason why I picked this passage to speak from is just the imagery of understanding the relationship that we have with God and understanding what He has done for us. So I'll start in verse 1. It says, "Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its going down, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, His glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, who dwells on high, who humbles Himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth? He raises the poor out of the dust, and He lifts the needy out of the ash heap. That He may seat him with princes and the princes of his people. He grants the barren woman a home like the joyful mother of children. Praise the Lord." So the authorship of this passage is kind of debated, but most would settle on understanding that this is a post-exilic psalm, meaning it was written after the Babylonian exile, and that is kind of helpful to understand some of the wording and imagery in the passage. And it is also one of the halal psalms that modern Jews sing around the Passover celebrations. So they would sing 13 and 14 together, and then have Passover, and then 15 to 18. So that kind of, it carries the story of and significance of the Passover. In verse 1, it begins with saying, "Praise the Lord." It's a generic expression to the audience, to the intended hearers of the letter, the psalm that is written. And it's also a bookend because it ends in "Praise the Lord." "Praise the Lord," or "Hallelujah," which is "Praise Jehovah," means to shine, to show, to boast, to be foolishly clamorous, which I think is kind of funny because it's a boisterous word, of deep expression, and it comes to mind is David when he brings the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem, when he does it the right way, where he's singing and dancing, and the ladies are there with their tambourines making a big to do. I think that really carries the idea of "Praise the Lord." "Praise, O servants of the Lord," is like who are the servants that the psalmist is talking about? I'd say as the righteous people of Israel, the righteous remnant that came back out of exile. Servants know and are known by their master. They know who the master is, who his character is. The servants know the way of the Lord and are making much of him, or are encouraged by the psalmist to make much of the Lord for what he has done. "Praise the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore." And in Jewish culture, somebody's name, or the name of, to say somebody's name, it carries with it an identity and who you know the person to be. So I found this out when I was studying for this passage, and it kind of was very helpful, because when the Bible says people call upon the name of the Lord, it means they're calling upon who they know God to be. And in the scriptures, in times past, and in our lives, we know God to be loving and kind and just and holy and high above all things. So these servants are calling upon who they know God to be. So bless the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore, from the rising of the sun to its going down. So from the rising of the sun to its going down is not necessarily a time thing from morning until night, I wouldn't say, is as much as from east to west. It's a directional thing. So from the sun rising in the east to its setting in the west, in all of the land of Israel, the psalmist is encouraging the righteous people in Israel to praise the Lord for who they know him to be and for bringing them out of exile. And to bless is to make much of who know God to be. And this only happens when we stop looking in the mirror, looking at the reflection of ourselves, and stop focusing on our little things that are going on in life, and just look around us and look at the beauty of his creation. There are plenty of things in our daily life, even on our worst days, that we can still praise the Lord for. The Lord is high above all nations, his glory above the heavens. So God is the creator of all, which means he's eternal. He was before the beginning of time. He is outside of time and space. And thus means he is above all things. He is worthy of all power, and he has all authority to say and do what he wants. He's the sustainer and worthy of all our praise. And when we recognize this and our insignificance in comparison to God, it should draw us into a sense of awe and reverence and understanding in the next couple of verses of 5 and 6. The psalmist has a question of who is the Lord our God who dwells on high, who humbles himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth. I think verse 6 is particular why I wanted to share from this passage tonight, is we see God, who the psalmist is making much of him and making him out to be the creator above all things, and his glory is above the heavens. There's no physical limit to his glory. It's outside of what we know, all of our human measurements. It's past as far, as high as we could get with our own human ability, and that's where God starts. That's where his glory starts. That's where he lives. And yet he humbles himself to behold the things that are in heaven and on the earth, which means he had to stoop past the heavens, which is one unattainable, unachievable thing by human ability. And then he comes to earth. And I'll get to that later. Verse 7, he raises the poor out of the dust heap and lifts the needy out of the ash heap. To remember the context of the passage, of understanding that it's a post-exilic psalm, the Israelites would have been very familiar with the ash of fires and destruction and poverty. And the writer says to the servants of God in Israel, I'm missing a page. That happens too. Okay. Well, yeah. We see God coming to earth. And the Israelites, with their history, God raises. We can see the psalmist recounting how God saw Israel in their helpless state, and when they finally repented, And we know the story of the king sending them out and paying for them to rebuild their city and their temple, which is it's a miraculous thing. And so we see God caring for Israel. In verse 8, that he may seat him with princes and with the princes of his people. We see God restoring former royalty, former people of authority. We see God restoring social hierarchy. In verse 9, it says he grants the barren woman a home like a joyful mother of children. And I know in the patriarchs, like Sarah, she was a barren woman, and God blessed her with a child. We see that. I was trying to understand how the psalmist would have seen this particular event, because I think it's important to understand the context before we try to put our own ideas onto a passage. And I don't know in that time. We don't have much scripture around then. So I don't know. We don't have any accounts of barren women having children. So maybe I think the imagery could be taken from it in that God was bringing Israel and comparing it to a barren woman from bondage and from slavery and having all their children killed in war and bringing them back to her own land and blessing them and making her fruitful and multiplying her in her land. So I think I'm going to close with a couple verses in Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to start reading in verse 6. Verse 5. Let this be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not count it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. I think that verse very clearly sums up the idea of what I want to say from this passage, and that we can praise God unending all times for what he has done in sending his son, the clear imagery here of God stooping past the heavens and coming to earth and raising us out of the ash heap and barrenness of our own sinful lives and taking care of us and making us princes and children in his heavenly kingdom. So I think that's all that I want to say for tonight.